Hey everyone, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Writers at RVFTA.com.
And the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations.
About 10 years ago, we had a couple of babies and a marriage that was on the rocks.
So we bought an RV and we started camping. The rest, as they say, is history.
Join us as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in to the latest RV innovations from people in the know.
So pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. We are on part 4 of a 6-part miniseries all about Glacier National Park. The first episode, we talked about planning a trip. The second episode, we talked about gear that you specifically need for Glacier. And the third episode, we reviewed the St. Mary East Glacier KOA. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about 10 things to do on the east side of Glacier National Park. But before we dive in, we need to thank our friends and our sponsors at Jayco.
A big thanks to Jayco. To see a complete lineup of the brand spanking new 2020 models, go to jayco.com. Jayco, generations of family fun.
And just Google J-Command. Just Google it. Trust me.
It's all the rage. Absolutely.
All right, Stephanie, we flew in and we drove across going to the Sun Road from West Glacier to East Glacier. We checked into our cabin fairly late in the evening, and then we woke up the next morning and you had planned our trip on the Red Bus Tour. And it was the Eastern Alpine Tour. That's a 3-hour tour from 9:30 to 12:30. This was the first thing you wanted to do in Glacier National Park. And I really do think it worked perfectly to kind of kick off the whole trip. So why did you want to do that first? And why do we recommend that other people do it first?
Yeah, this was based on a lot of previous experiences that we've had where guided tours have really helped situate us in either natural places or historical places. And then when you see that area through an expert's eyes, it really helps you for the rest of your trip, right? So I figured the perfect introduction to East Glacier would be to do one of these half-day tours the first morning, because then we'd know what we were looking at, right? Where the glaciers were, what the different scenic routes were, what the best places to go were. And you can always pick a tour guide's brain. Like, that's the great thing about tour guides, is they're usually used to giving you recommendations for other things to do.
And they taught us what a glacier is. And
right.
I mean, you could drive past one and maybe not know that you just drove past a glacier.
When we were coming in, that was a big question, right? The question was, the boys wanted to know, what's the difference between the snowpacks and the glaciers? And we had the answers to that within the first probably 20 minutes of our Red Bus tour. So there's a lot of different Red Bus tours you can take. We chose this half day tour. There's also full day, 8-hour
tours. But with kids, half day was obvious.
I think, honestly, even for an adult, the full day tour would be a little much for me. I think these half day, 3-hour ones are just perfect.
Now, the weather matters a lot. So we got lucky and we had a really nice day. So the roof was rolled back.
Mm-hmm. The canvas roof was fully open. So you can just look up and see, you know, just the mountains towering above you. It's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, you just get the views when the canvas roof is rolled back. We did this on the other side of the park and the weather was dicey and the roof was not rolled back for about half the trip. And it makes a huge, huge difference to get good weather. They do have a 3-day cancellation policy. So if you see bad weather or a rainy day coming, you might decide to cancel at the last second. But we really think you need to do one of these Red Bus tours. They're historic. They've been running since like 1936. These were built between 1936 and 1938. Then they were all restored by Ford at a certain point. And right now, they're building an all-electric one.
Yeah,
so
that's exciting.
They're really cool. And you get to put that Pendleton blanket over you and kind of cozy up together as a family. I brought a hot cup of coffee with me. It was just like a magical glacier experience. And our tour guide was awesome, and she let Wesley sit in the front seat.
Yeah, and I actually think that the price was right for this experience. I don't think that it was overpriced. You know, whenever you're having that ticketed price on something in a national park, a lot of the time it's like, okay, is this going to be worth it? Or I could go on a hike for free, right? But I really felt that this was a great use of our money in Glacier, and I was happy that we did it and we started out that way.
Yeah, and I think there were about, this is about $60 for adults and about $30 for kids. There's some slight price changes between East and West because the tours are longer or shorter, but I appreciated that the child discount was pretty steep.
Yeah, it was only about $175 for our whole family to do it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I think reasonable.
They show you all the best pullovers, places with views, and a lot of times you don't realize there's like a stunning view if you just pull over and walk through the woods a little bit. So they're going to show you that. And our tour guide was like a big hiker, and she gave us lots of good hiking tips for the week as well,
which we started to use immediately, because right after we did that half day Red Bus tour, we went on our first hike in Glacier National Park. And one of the things we tried to emphasize in our gear podcast episode that we did for the second one of this series, we tried to emphasize that Glacier National Park really is a park that needs to be hiked to truly appreciate everything that's there. Going to the Sun Road is phenomenal, but if you only stay on the road, you're really not seeing some of the most epic sights in Glacier.
Yeah, so we did four hikes. We did four awesome hikes, and that's total on the east and the west side. So the first hike we did, which was that same day after the Red Bus tour, we grabbed lunch and then we went to do the hike that was from Sunrift Gorge to St. Mary Falls. And it was kind of a beautiful mistake. We didn't intend to depart from Sunrift Gorge, but the St. Mary Falls parking lot was full.
And
I think it always is. So we went to the next parking lot and just departed from there, which turned it into about a 5-mile round trip hike. But it's a great introductory hike to the east side of Glacier National Park. It has all of the great elements of a glacier hike. It's sort of a rim hike along the lake, but it's very mellow. It has stunning views of St. Mary Lake, stunning views of the mountains, but very little elevation gain. And it's like a really easy 5-mile hike. You pass one waterfall on the way out to St. Mary Falls, and then the stopping point is St. Mary Falls, which is sort of a medium-sized but very beautiful waterfall and a great place to kind of stop and have a snack.
You can also swim. There's areas down below the falls that were very calm and nice, and plenty of people were down there in their bathing suits. We didn't have our bathing suits with us, and we were going to have to hike back.
Well, we did swim on the way back,
but
though.
But all the way back at the end. So since we didn't have our bathing suits on us, I don't let the kids get in the water in the middle of a hike when we have to do, you know, about 3 miles
on the way back. We did, the boys dove in first to St. Mary Lake, and it was cold but very clear and very refreshing. And then also we both dove in too. We just kind of felt like we had to at the end of the hike to cool off. So that was a great first hike in Glacier National Park.
Now for dinner that night, okay, so we had gotten in, we had stopped at the grocery store, but we had gotten more like sandwich stuff and everything, and we had made sandwiches for lunch that day. And so after doing like the Red Bus tour, a 6-mile hike, like honestly, we were hungry.
We wanted
a substantial meal, and we hadn't really gotten like dinner food at the grocery store. So we went to the Curly Bear Cafe, which is right in that St. Mary Lodge area. There's this whole little like group of the gas station, ice cream, you know.
A big gift shop.
Yeah.
It's basically kind of all that's there, really, right outside of the park.
So we're like, okay, we'll go there, the Curly Bear Cafe. And they had sandwiches. And so sea subs, kind of, you know.
And we got like the toasted roll kind of sub.
Yeah. And so we got, chicken salad, tuna salad, turkey, whatever. Now, I'm only saying this because this was the moment when I realized that food was going to blow our budget in Glacier National Park. So I really just want to like educate everybody on this. We got 5 sandwiches with chips and a drink, and it was $74. Yeah. And I almost passed out.
It was good.
It was good food, luckily.
It was good food. And honestly, the reviews for this place were not amazing online. And I think part of the reason is people are just cranky at how expensive it is.
My chicken salad was delicious.
Well, it's like Quiznos, but better.
Yeah, I was like, wow, that's really good. Thank God.
Stephanie's right. Like, eating out's really expensive in Glacier. And I think it's even more on the east side. And the east side's a bit more remote. And I just think they probably have more additional food costs getting food over there.
The problem was it wasn't just expensive to eat out, it was also expensive to buy groceries to make. So our friends that are actually showing up in RVs, you guys are in the best position possible, because I highly recommend being well-stocked in the food department.
Huge advantage.
That will save you a lot of money. For our friends who are doing things like we did and flying in, renting an RV, staying in cabins, you really want to budget for food costs that are higher than what you're used to, because I'm telling you, this kind of situation busted our budget.
And there's just very few options. Like somebody in one of the Yelp reviews said, like, the Curly Bear Cafe, it's the only show in town. Like, that's just where you eat if that's where you are.
Yeah.
So the next day we did our second hike. And this was our biggest adventure as a family. It was the longest and most rigorous hike we've ever done as a family. And I was so proud of our family that we did it, that we locked in. We did the 12-mile round-trip hike to Grinnell Glacier, to an actual glacier. Wesley, at 6 years old, did every step of this hike. He was not carried for one step. He had a few difficult moments. I think I had more difficult moments than he did. But I mean, he did an amazing job. Stephanie, it's almost hard to find the words to describe how beautiful this hike was.
Yeah, I mean, this was my bucket list activity on a bucket list trip. Like, I was like, I don't care what else we actually get to. This is the non-negotiable. I'm hiking to a glacier. As far as I'm concerned, I'm like, there's not going to be any glaciers in 10 years. I'm going to a glacier. And I'm like, putting my foot in.
Basically told us, like, you didn't give us a choice.
No, like, I was like, everybody's getting on board.
And then we did get on board.
And everybody's doing a 12-mile hike. So we'll just talk about, this is a difficult hike to kind of plan out, because again, it's one of those things, there's lots of stuff online and it can be a little confusing. I highly recommend the All Trails app for a hike like this, because it helps you situate yourself when there's lots of different entrances to the trail and there's lots of different ways to go about getting on the trail. You start off at the Many Glacier Lodge, but the thing is, a lot of people take the boat, right? So if you go online and you're like, you know, Grinnell Glacier hike, it's going to be like, do I take the boat or don't I take the boat?
Because it hypothetically cuts off about 2 miles from the hike.
Yeah, so
they're two flat, easy miles.
They're the easiest miles of the hike. And then on top of that, you take actually two boats. So you're getting on one boat and going across the lake. Then you're getting off and you're walking this path. And then you get on another boat and go across the lake. And then you have to go uphill to join the hike. So
all the hard stuff is after the boats.
Yeah.
It's such, I mean, almost like when we got back to those lakes, I felt like we were done anyway.
Yeah.
It was just a little easy stroll back to the lodge.
It was and it wasn't. So I still don't know where I land on this. I'm not disappointed that we didn't get the boats, that we decided to just hike the whole thing. It was fine. But at the same time, I can see that at the end, when we got to that point where there was the boat pickup, it would have been nice to just get on the boat.
I wouldn't have said no. I wouldn't have been like no. But again, it's a non-issue. If you can get on the boat, get on the boat. If you can't get tickets for whatever reason, just take the hike anyway.
I would say the one downside that I really thought about the boat, watching people, is that you are beholden to the times of the boat. So if you don't get back in time to catch that last boat that goes back, which is like at 3 or 4 or something,
anyway,
you're going to be doing the walk anyway. And I saw people like racing to get that last boat. And I don't know, like the whole thing seems like a whole lot of hoop-de-loo for not a lot of benefit.
I agree.
And it's expensive. But it would have been over $100 for our family to do that.
I would just say it doesn't matter. Just do the hike.
Yeah.
The hike is spectacular. It's rigorous. You hike past 3 gorgeous lakes. We saw moose down in the lakes. You hike past a waterfall on the trail. There are wildflowers everywhere, spectacular mountain views. And then you end up at the halfway point at a glacier, like dipping your toes in the water from a glacier.
Yeah, dipping and getting out because it's freezing.
I think we saw one person dive in the water. It was cold. Yeah. Like you feel a cold breeze coming
ice.
Off of it.
Yeah, it's an ice bath.
And I will warn you, the last 0.4 miles to get to the glacier, a lot of people stop at that point. It's like a rest area. There's like a pit toilet. The last 0.4 miles up to the glacier were really difficult for me.
The hardest really hiking difficult we've for ever everybody. Done in our life.
I mean, we were exhausted.
Up, yeah. And it's thin air. It's hard to breathe. So you need a lot of water on this hike. You need a lot of snacks on this hike. You need the right, you know, shoes. This is a serious hike. You need to leave early in the morning. So we were there and on the trail, but I think 7:45, 8 o'clock.
Before 8.
We were there with all the serious hikers, right? So everybody that had like researched the hike and everything.
Well, it took us 7 hours and 45 minutes.
Yeah, you need to go in the morning. And then as we're coming back, there's all of these people that were just pouring off of the different boats that were coming out through the day. And you just knew a lot of them didn't realize that they weren't even going to come close to finishing this hike. You couldn't get out there and back. There were people quitting. Yeah,
On the trail, we saw many people just stop and say, well, this is as far as we're going.
It was worth every step. And the boys, it was the hardest thing that they had ever done physically. And at the end, they were so happy we did it. They were like, that was so proud of themselves.
It was the highlight of the glacier trip. And by the way, I mean, if you're not physically able to do the 12-mile hike out, it's still a gorgeous hike to do maybe half of it. You're just not going to get to the glacier.
What I would do is I'd take the boat out and then hike over to the Grinnell Lake. Right? You can just go straight over to that Grinnell Lake and you can enjoy all of the beautiful beauty around, and you can actually jump in that lake and like hang out there. I think that would be a fun, if you have a, you know, if you need an easier kind of way to enjoy the beauty in
I wouldn't not do it because you don't think you can make it to the glacier. It's gorgeous the entire way. And look on our website, the RVAtlas.com, and the show notes will have pictures. So the fifth thing we think you should do on the east side of Glacier National Park, and this would be a perfect thing to do after your 8-hour hike, would be to have dinner at the Swiss Lounge at the Many Glacier Hotel, because that's where we parked. That's where we departed from. So after an 8-hour hike, like, yeah, we're stopping and having dinner here. And it's a beautiful, beautiful Swiss chalet-styled lodge. Absolutely gorgeous. The lounge is lovely. And I thought the food was really good. It was a really nice meal. And
the
not just because we were
excellent.
Hungry.
But we weren't in like the fancy. Okay, so there's like a fancier restaurant. We picked the lounge, which is almost like a bar and grill kind of an atmosphere.
More burgers and sandwiches.
A little low key. Good drinks. So the Sperry Spritzer apparently is a drink that you can get at like any of the lodges. It's like one of their signature cocktails. Really delicious. It's like a bourbon blackberry, like a just really nice drink. And that I enjoyed at various lodges around the the park. So I highly recommend trying that. But then there's also, if you don't want to have dinner, there is a little lounge area right outside that has beautiful windows, 360 view, like all around the windows reach around. And there's comfortable chairs and tables. So you can go to the bar, get a drink, walk right into the lounge, sit down, and just look out over the lake and enjoy a view.
Just
it's really gorgeous.
Visiting this lodge and the Lake McDonald Lodge on the west side are experiences unto themselves and well worth it. We had great burgers that night. I had brats. One of the boys had wild mushroom pasta. We were pretty happy with the food. So we've got five more things to do on the east side of Glacier National Park. But before we dive into the next five on our list, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
Jayco has helped generation after generation create family memories since 1968. Offering travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, Class C and Class A motorhomes, it's easy to find the perfect Jayco for your family. With an industry-leading 2-year limited warranty, beautiful design, and innovative safety features, you can be confident in your Jayco. Visit your local Jayco dealer or Jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Okay. Now, the next day, we didn't do anything. We did a recovery day at the campground, and we relaxed.
We did a little. We went to the visitor center. We never do nothing.
So number six, we always say you've got to visit the visitor centers. A great place to pick up maps, to get a gift, to pick up a book. Also to talk to rangers and get ideas for things to do and hikes and adventures that are appropriate for your family. So don't forget the St. Mary Visitor Center, which is basically right there at the foot of St. Mary Lake.
Oh, yeah. It's right a mile away from the campground that we stayed at. It's at the entrance, the eastern entrance. And they have a nice little interpretive display. They have the movie there, right? If some people like to make sure that they see the movie.
Which was pretty good. They're not always good.
It wasn't the best. It wasn't the worst. It was right in between. I would have liked a little more glacier geology than it gave, but it did do an okay job. There's also a nice sign right there by the visitor center for your picture if you really want to grab that family picture around the national park, you know, welcome to Glacier National Park sign. And there's also the shuttle service right there at the visitor center. So the shuttles will take off and the express ones will go right to Logan Pass, or some of the other ones stop at the popular hikes along the way. So it's a nice east side hub.
Now, that evening after our recovery day, we attended a ranger program at St. Mary Campground, which was really close to the KOA and really, really close to the visitor center. It was probably the most gorgeous NPS amphitheater I've ever seen. It had stunning panoramic views of the mountains. It was sort of this little grassy, wide open area with the benches and the seats. The prettiest amphitheater I've ever seen. And it almost pains me to say this. It was like the worst ranger talk we've ever attended.
All right. We don't need to dwell on it.
I've loved every ranger talk we've ever done. But this one started with a 20-minute kind of preamble about how she found herself and how she learned that everything in the universe was connected. And it was just kind of way too personal. And it wasn't really what I wanted to hear, because it was supposed to be a bear safety talk.
Well, no. It was supposed to be about moths.
Oh, okay.
Things.
Well, that just indicates how bad this talk was, because I thought it was a bear safety talk.
But I will say, so you thought it was a bear safety talk, because I think that as part of their bear education in Glacier, I think that no matter what
they do that.
Yeah, I think that no matter what the ranger programs are about, they all incorporate basic bear safety so that they're hitting you no matter what, right? Like, so you don't have to go to a bear safety one. And we have to say that I have to say, every single ranger program that I saw, because we were also at the Apgar Village and I saw one, I learned something new about bear interaction.
Well, she taught us something huge. So before I sound like a total jerk, like, she really taught us something that could save our lives, right? I mean, she said when you have the bear spray, everyone thinks you're supposed to point the bear spray at the bear's eyes or at the bear's face. She said that's an absolute no-no, because the bear's charging so quickly, it'll probably end up just going right over their heads. You want to spray it at their feet, and it will create a plume that rises up to their face. So that's a tip that could save my life at some point. So yeah. I do appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, it was, but go to a program there. It's a perfect location on the east side in that campground. It was minutes away from the St. Mary KOA that we were staying at. Which was nice.
Okay, so now hike number three. So we hiked Hidden Lake. Now this is at, you take off for Hidden Lake at Logan Pass, which is sort of the dividing line for East and West Glacier. Now there's two different ways to do this absolutely stunning, gorgeous hike. You can do a 3-mile round trip hike that's going to get you to the overlook where you look down at the Hidden Lake, or you can do a 6-mile round trip hike that's going to take you all the way down to the lake and back. Now, Stephanie, the day we went, you could only go up to the overlook, and then the trail was closed down to the lake. Why?
Well, it had just been closed minutes before we got there because there was bear activity. And that happens a lot in Glacier National Park. The rangers are like in full on like mode with cutting off access for humans to bears, right? So as soon as there's a lot of bear activity on a trail, they shut it down. On this trail this morning, there was a mountain goat apparently getting...
A grizzly was getting eaten by a grizzly
right by the trail.
Now, that night back at the KOA, I was in the hot tub talking to some people from Idaho, and they saw the grizzly on the trail. I mean, they said it was a good
distance
away.
They were already on the trail. Yeah. So they were actually involved in the whole situation with the rangers shutting it down. So, like, they were there. They were coming up upon it. They saw it. They started to back up and retreat and go back. And that was when the rangers were coming down to shoo everybody off the trail. And they actually put caution tape across it. It was like yellow caution tape, and you couldn't go. But it was still worth it, even just getting up to that overlook. There was a lot of wildlife on this.
This is where we saw mountain goats walk right past us. I got great mountain goat photos. The mountain goats up there are just, I guess, really acclimated to human activity. So they just walk around all around
you. They just walk right by you. And you're like,
they walk right by you. And you're like, oh yeah, there's a mountain goat.
Yeah.
Right there. Now on the way up, there's all these little beautiful waterfalls, like really little beautiful wildflowers. And the whole hike up to the overlook just has these stunning views of the mountains behind you. don't miss this hike. It's very popular. It's very crowded. That's not a reason not to do it.
But I will say, so the parking lot at Logan Pass is the most congested place in the entire park. So you really do want to plan for visiting Logan Pass, either by doing what we did. And the day that we went up, we were not getting an early start in the morning. So we were like, if we're not getting an early start because we had a big day the day before, we wanted to give the boys a little break, we were going to take the shuttles. So we actually took a shuttle up to Logan Pass that time. However, previously, when we were driving from like the east side to the west side, you could get a parking spot at Logan Pass before 8 a.m. So if you want, and that's pretty much the rule of thumb in the entire park, is that you, if you want to actually guarantee yourself a parking spot at any of the most popular hikes, you actually need to be in the parking lot prior to 8 a.m.
Glacier, more than, we've been saying this on the podcast for years about getting up early at national parks. This was the most extreme version of that we have seen at any national park so far. You really, like, the early bird really gets the worm at Glacier. I mean, if you want to park at a popular trail, you got to get up early. Otherwise, you're just not going to get a spot.
Oh, and the one day we decided to give the kids a break and let everybody sleep in and relax. And we had some breakfast at the campground. We ended up on the shuttle. Well, you know what? We didn't get to the visitor center to get on the shuttle till like 10:30, which is when we always say that national parks lose their minds. Right? Everybody shows up at 10:30. There we were. We had to wait about 45 minutes for a shuttle because we were in line. We were on a packed shuttle and we were looking at each other like, this is what we never do. And this is what so many other people do. And then they're like, oh my gosh, it was so crowded.
Doing that every day would have been miserable.
We wouldn't have been happy.
And we had to get on another shuttle to eventually get to Logan Pass. So it was like a whole to-do just to get up there to the hike. So glad on all the other mornings for all the other hikes, we got up crazy early and got there and got spots.
All right. Now, our next two things that we want to mention are not things that we did. They were things that were on the bottom of our list that we always have extra things that we don't get to, and they're on our list for the next time we visit.
Yeah, we want to do the Iceberg Lake hike. Now, our guide on the Red Bus Tour said that it's her favorite hike in the park, and she's a big hiker. It's a 9-mile round-trip hike that takes off at the Swift Current Motor Inn Complex, which is kind of over by the Many Glacier Lodge.
Right around the corner, yeah.
And it's, I think that people love it. It's spectacular. You hike out to this lake with real icebergs in it, but it's an easier grade and it's less elevation than Grinnell Glacier and it's 3 miles shorter. So I think if you wanted like a big adventurous hike, but Grinnell Glacier just seemed like a bit too much, this is another great option. So if we went back to Glacier or when we go back to Glacier, this is my number one hike I want to do.
Yeah, the kids just weren't up for a 9-mile hike when we were on the east side after the 12-mile and the 6-mile.
I wasn't either.
Yeah, they tapped out. Yeah. So the other thing that we would really love to do is take a ride on the Glacier Park Boat Company, their St. Mary Lake boat, right? So we did a boat tour on the west side that you can hear more about on our west side podcast episode, but it's the same boat company. It's been in operation for how many years, Jeremy?
So I want to say since 1938.
It's like ridiculous. And they're the same boats. Like these are the same wooden boats that have been in operation for like almost 100 years.
It's fascinating too. Their contract is up this year.
It's
so there's
a family,
debate about whether it comes back. And so many of these concessions in Glacier have been there for generations. I think it's the grandson now running this
boat company. Yeah.
The grandfather started it.
Well, so there's the docks at St. Mary Lake as well. And you can just, you know, get the boat tickets right near the entrance to the east side. On the east side, there's like a concessionaire and you can get your tickets there and you take a boat ride across. And it's beautiful. We just didn't get to it. We did the boat ride on the other side.
And this one is $27 for adults, $14 for kids. And I think it's about an hour and a half long. It was a really nice tour on historical wooden boat. Beautiful.
Be about $100 for our family to do, right?
Yeah. And it was even cheaper on the other side, the Lake McDonald one, because I think it's a shorter boat ride.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think that we paid that much over there.
We didn't pay that much. It was definitely less. All right, so this was episode 4 in our 6-episode miniseries on Glacier National Park. We've got 2 episodes left. The next one is going to be a review of the West Glacier Cave. Pay Away, which might just be our favorite campground in the country. I mean, for me, I think honestly, it's like a
tie
with Fort Wilderness.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's the most beautiful campground in the country.
Fair
and
enough.
I think there's a difference.
I totally get your point. I didn't mean to speak for you, but it is really, truly one of my two or three favorite campgrounds in the country. And then after that episode, we're going to do 10 or 12 things to do on the west side of Glacier National Park, which is the busier, more populated side. And all kinds of stuff we did over there that was amazing. So we're really excited to pump out those episodes for you. And we really hope that you get to use these episodes to plan your own trip to Glacier National Park, whether you take your own RV, rent a cabin, fly and rent an RV, stay in a tent, Airbnb. I don't care how you get to Glacier. You need to get to Glacier. And hopefully we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas. And a big thanks to the sponsors of this show, Jayco, Bass Pro Cabela's, Thetford, Go Power, and Go RVing. We appreciate their support in creating educational and inspirational RV content.
You can also find links to everything mentioned in this episode over at rvfta.com, plus hundreds of blog posts on everything from gear recommendations to our favorite camping recipes.
If you enjoy our show, please leave us a review wherever you listen, and make sure to get social with us on Facebook at The RV Atlas and on Instagram at Jeremy and Stephanie. Plus, we've got the friendliest campers around in our private Facebook group, so check it out.
Until next time, I'm Jeremy.
And I'm Stephanie.
And we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.